William Makepeace Thackeray, The Short Stories. The great author of Vanity Fair and The Luck of Barry Lyndon was born in India in 1811. At age 5, his father died and his mother sent him back to England. His education was of the best, but he himself seemed unable to apply his talents to a work ethic. After a few years of marriage, his wife began to suffer from depression and over the years became detached from reality. He himself suffered from ill health later in his life, and the one pursuit that kept him moving forward was that of writing. And in his lifetime, he was placed second only to Dickens. High praise indeed. In this volume, we take some of his shorter works. They are perfect miniatures of the world as he saw it. These stories are read for you by Richard Midgley and Gisela Rowe.
Mrs. Perkins's Ball by William Makepeace Thackeray. The Mulligan of Ballymulligan and how he went to Mrs. Perkins's ball. I do not know where Ballymulligan is, and never knew anybody who did. Once I asked the Mulligan the question, when that chieftain assumed a look of dignity so ferocious and spoke of Saxon curiosity in a tone of such evident displeasure that, as after all it can matter very little to me whereabouts lies the Celtic principality in question, I have never pressed the inquiry any farther. I don't know even the Mulligan's town residence. One night, as he bade us adieu in Oxford Street, "I live there," says he, pointing down towards Oxbridge with the big stick he carries. So his abode is in that direction, at any rate. He has his letters addressed to several of his friends' houses, and his parcels, etc., are left for him at various taverns which he frequents. That pair of check trousers in which you see him attired, he did me the favour of ordering from my own tailor, who is quite as anxious as anybody to know the address of the wearer. In like manner, my hatter asked me, "Who was the Harish gent as ordered 4 hats and a sable boa to be sent to my lodgings?" As I did not know, however I might guess, the articles have never been sent, and the Mulligan has withdrawn his custom from the infernal 4 and 9 penny scoundrel, as he calls him. The hatter has not shut up shop in consequence. I became acquainted with the Mulligan through a distinguished countryman of his, who, strange to say, did not know the chieftain himself. But dining with my friend Fred Clancy of the Irish Bar at Greenwich, the Mulligan came up, introduced himself to Clancy, as he said, claimed relationship with him on the side of Brian Boru, and drawing his chair to our table, quickly became intimate with us. He took a great liking to me, was good enough to find out my address and pay me a visit, since which period, often and often on coming to breakfast in the morning, I have found him in my sitting-room on the sofa, engaged with the rolls and morning papers. And many a time, on returning home at night for an evening's quiet reading, I have discovered this honest fellow in the armchair before the fire, perfuming the apartment with my cigars, and trying the quality of such liquors as might be found on the sideboard. The way in which he pokes fun at Betsy, the maid of the lodgings, is prodigious. She begins to laugh whenever he comes. If he calls her a duck, a divil, a darlin', it is all one. He is just as much a master of the premises as the individual who rents them at 15 shillings a week. And as for handkerchiefs, shirt collars, and the like articles of fugitive haberdashery, the loss, since I have known him, is unaccountable. I suspect he is like the cat in some houses. For suppose the whisky, the cigars, the sugar, the tea caddy, the pickles and other groceries disappear, all is laid upon that edax rerum of a Mulligan. The greatest offence that can be offered to him is to call him Mr. Mulligan. "Would you deprive me, sir," says he, "of the title that was borne by me princely ancestors in 100,000 battles, in our own green valleys and forests, in the American savannas, in the Sierras of Spain and the flats of Flanders, the Saxon has quailed before me war cry of Mulligan aboo! Mr. Mulligan! I'll pitch anybody out of the window who calls me Mr. Mulligan!" He said this and uttered the slogan of the Mulligans with a shriek so terrific that my uncle, the Reverend W. Gruels of the Independent Congregation Bungay, who had happened to address him in the above obnoxious manner while sitting at my apartments drinking tea after the May meetings, instantly quitted the room, and has never taken the least notice of me since, except to state to the rest of the family that I am doomed irrevocably to perdition. Well, one day last season, I had received from my kind and most estimable friend, Mrs. Perkins of Pocklington Square, to whose amiable family I have had the honour of giving lessons in drawing, French and the German flute.